Well, there was just one announcement I forgot to share. I had it written down. In regards to Francie, we have a get well card for Francie out on the kitchen bench. And so could you please feel inclined to go and wish her a get well and tell her that we're thinking of her so she can feel special at this time when she probably doesn't feel too great. And so I'm sure that would be an encouragement to her. Having said that, please turn to 2 Chronicles. Last Sunday night, I continued to look at some things in regards to Jehoshaphat, and I said that's the last message in regards to Jehoshaphat, but he's just the gift that keeps on giving, this guy. The title there is Jehoshaphat's Great Grandson, or it could have been The Rot Continues. And I'm sure if Jehoshaphat could have looked into the future and seen the implications of him joining forces with Israel, the northern kingdom, and Ahab and Jezebel, and making allegiances with them, if he could look forward and see the destruction that would have will cause his family, I am certain he would have had nothing to do with it. It'd be really nice to be able to, when you got some plans or choices, the Lord show you the end results. I'm sure we would change certain things. And that's why this is not even in my notes, I'm just starting off, but that's why it's good to go to people that have seen those various choices in life, and generally that means they have to have grey hair, all right, a fair few wrinkles, they've been around for a while, and you ask them, what have you seen if someone chooses this direction? Because we don't have God to tell us, unless we can see it in God's word, but very wise to do that, because there are some things that make perfect sense to us, but in reality, really bad decisions. And I'm sure Jehoshaphat, if he had been able to see and know, he would have realized he made a big mistake in doing that. So anyway, let's pray and we'll see what we have in regards to his great-grandson. Heavenly Father, we do come and we do thank you that we have your word to guide us. And Lord, history tells us and shows us that your word is true. Your warnings are genuine and they are needed. Lord, the directions that you tell us to go are wise. And Father, if we want to be wise, we need to take heed to these things. And I do pray that, Lord, you will touch our hearts this morning. Minister to us. Let your word be the one who teaches and reveals, and your spirit who convicts and enlightens and encourages. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you weren't here last Sunday night, we looked at Ahaziah, the grandson of Jehoshaphat. And we saw how Ahaziah was removed from the throne after 1 year of reigning as king. So he didn't get to do too much. And that all stemmed from his grandfather's allegiance with Ahab. And that continued with his father and then with him as well. And so Ahaziah had a friendship with the king of Israel, and he walked in the ways of Israel, in the abominations of Israel, in worshipping Baal and so forth. And because of this friendship, he found himself visiting the king of Israel the very day that Jehu had arrived to slay the king of Israel, Jehoram, as God had commanded him. So he's just going up for a visit. God has commanded Jehu to go and kill Jehoram, the king of the north, and he loses his life in the process as well, after 1 year of reigning as king. Now, needless to say, this brought about mayhem in Jerusalem. The king was dead so quickly after coming to reign. And from the shadows emerged a very wicked woman. And this was Ahaziah's mother. the mother, all right? Mothers don't always get things right, all right? Let's just be sure of that. And now her son was dead. We see that she had a lust for power, and it came to a head. And she did something that no mother, and here we would say grandmother, would ever do naturally. Because on the news of her son's death, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 10, this. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, okay, he's been killed by Jehu, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. And so, when she heard that her son was dead, she thought, this is an ideal opportunity for me to take over and be in control. And so she killed all her grandsons so that she could become the queen. All of Ahaz's children, I suspect he had other wives and so on, and their children, which could have been. And so she wiped out all of her son's children. Isn't it scary what you can become when you let sinful lusts take control? You know, we can do some terrible things beyond what we could ever imagine we would do. We can become far worse than we could ever imagine we would become when we don't heed God's word and we allow our sinful desires to take its natural course. And Athaliah, no doubt, was consumed with her lust for that desire for power and control. And obviously nothing else mattered. And so she slew all her grandsons. Now, in all the horror and all the bloodshed, there was one ray of light. You see, God had made a promise to David many years ago that his children, his seed, will sit on the throne. Also a promise that from him the Messiah will come. And so what we do know about the promises of God, they cannot be broken. And so regardless of what man may do or woman may do, God will make sure that comes to pass. We can't outdo God. And the Lord used Ahaziah's sister, who was married to the high priest, to save one of Ahaziah's sons. And so the grandmother got all of them but one, right? She missed one son. And he was only 1 year old. Verse 11, we read this. And Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joaz, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, all right, got all that, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. Verse 12, and he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. And so Jehoiada the priest and his wife, the sister of the king that had been slain, hid this boy in the temple for 6 years. And during these 6 years, this evil woman, Athaliah, reigned over Judah. And so when you get those little diagrams of the kings, so forth, that reigned over Judah, she doesn't usually get a mention. They don't tell us that there was a queen reigning over Judah for 6 years. But so they had a queen. But when Joash had turned 7 years old, the priest Jehoiada decided it was time to reveal the rightful heir of the throne. And so if we were to read the story, we would gather that he gathered a number of the loyal men together, the ones that he knew he could trust, into the house of the Lord. And there in their presence as witnesses, he brought Joash in And everyone's amazed. Wow, you know, this is the son of Azariah, and he anointed him king. All the Levites guarded the temple, made sure no one could come in and do anything terrible. And so then they gave out the news, and people ran through the streets saying, "Praise God, we have a king, Joash, the king." And so when the queen heard this, she wanted to find out what was going on, and so she went into the house of God and saw Joash in the middle, surrounded by these other guards and Levites, and here's this little seven-year-old in the middle of them all being pronounced the king of Judah. And if you read the story, it's interesting. It says she rent her clothes and said, "Treason!" Right? It's only treason when it's happening to you. All right? She was a very treacherous woman herself. But she called treason. And Jehoiada the priest told the captains to take her out and slay her. And so they did that, and she was slain, and she was no longer queen. And Joash became the king. And it says in chapter 23, verse 21, "And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword." In verse 24, "Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba." And so at the age of seven, this boy begins to reign over Judah. And I'm sure it was strange for him. I'm sure it was strange for the people. I'm sure that although he held the position of king, he didn't really wield the power of a king at that stage. But he was tutored by Jehoiada the priest, his uncle, in the ways of the Lord, and no doubt in the ways of how to be a godly king as well. And this young man may not have had a father that was of a godly standing, but he certainly had a godly uncle and auntie. And that's just an encouragement to anyone, if you didn't have a godly father and mother, but you had a godly relative of some sort, praise God for them and the influence that they may have had on you. Praise God for them and respect them for that, for being that influence. Because we know that under the influence of Jehoiada, Joash learnt the ways of the Lord, and he did, as it says in the Word of God, that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That had not been said about a king of Judah for quite a while now, since Jehoshaphat. And so his grandfather certainly didn't do that. His father didn't do that, but it says that he did that in verse 2. "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." And we see a few things about him in verse 3. "And Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters." So we'll leave out the two wives things. But when he got old enough, he did what sadly most kings do and had a couple of wives, and he had sons and daughters. And then at some stage in his reign, his heart began to turn to the house of God, which is a natural thing. When you are growing closer to the Lord, the house of God will become more and more important to you. You will want to honor God in the house of God. You'll want to worship Him. You'll want to make sure it's what God is pleased with. And we see this in verse 4. "And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord." Verse 7, "But the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam." And so in the dark 6 years, they destroyed the house of the Lord, took all the good stuff and used it to worship Baal, yet we see that Joash wanted to repair the house of the Lord. And in the story, we are told that he made a proclamation for people to bring things to restore the house of God. Have you got any gold or silver or anything that can help? Bring it along so that we can restore and build this house of God again for His glory's sake. And then in verse 14 we read, "And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada," that's the priest, "whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer with all the spoons and the vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada." And so here we have the establishment of the worship of God once again in the temple of God. And it was a continual thing. And I'm sure this must have been a blessing to the priest, Jehoiada, and his wife, the auntie. Joash had a very bad start. But as he grew up in the guidance and teaching of Jehoiada, this boy became a man. And as a man, he inclined his heart to the things of God, which would have been a blessing. Encouragement. Yes, there's someone that's going to go forward. And I must say, for someone that has ministered to young people and older people and adults for quite a number of years now, that is one of the biggest blessings that you can enjoy. To see those that you have put time into, teaching them the things of God, warning them about things, sharing the things of God, and guiding them, and then you see them come to know the Lord as their Savior. And then not only that, then you see that they start to talk about the Lord, like they're growing. You know that they're wanting to have a quiet time and they're coming to church and they're worshiping the Lord. And then they come and they say, "Look, I want to serve the Lord." So you see that transformation from one that wasn't too interested in doing what God wants to that blessing of them wanting to serve God with all their heart. That's a blessing that you can't... You can't do yourself, it's God. But it's one that you enjoy. And for me, it's a blessing that I've seen. I have fond memories of people where I've seen that happen. I was thinking just when we were singing that song, I remember going to a camp when I was a young man and I had brown hair. And it was called the Red Rock Camp. And Darren Michelle would know that. You might have been to a Red Rock camp, or you certainly know where Red Rock camp is. And I was the speaker, and I spoke on Joshua and who you're going to serve. And there were quite a number of young people come forward that day. There was one girl, she was 13, and we didn't know where she was at. She had, her mum was a Christian, but her dad wasn't. And she came forward, and she said, "From now on, I'm going to put the Lord first, and I'm going to serve Him with all my heart." And she would be here today, but she's in quarantine, right? But isn't it good? I've got to see that happen over the years. And there are many others that came forward as well, and I've seen others do that and others that they didn't stick to that. But I tell you, as a father, as a pastor, as a youth pastor, as a youth leader, as a one-way leader, I have enjoyed seeing the same thing that Jehoiada got to see, and it's a blessing to see people seek the Lord on their own. But you know, in everyone's life, there always comes a day of truth where you see what is truly in the heart of the person. That time when they're no longer under the watchful gaze of their parents or their pastor or youth leader or uncle or auntie or whoever it may be, and then you see truly what is within their heart. And we see in verses 15 and 16 that time came for Joash. We have a look in chapter 24 in verse 15. It says, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died." So he was full of days, all right? "And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and towards his house. So they honored this priest who had done so well. But now Jehoiada was dead. Joash had a lot to be thankful for due to this man. He had saved him from the sword. He had nurtured him as a toddler. He had put him on the throne. He had guided him as he was a young man there, and he had taught him in the things of God. And so Jehoiada had done a lot for him and made a lot of sacrifices and had taken a lot of risks for this young man. And he had given him the very best opportunity possible to be one of the greatest kings of Judah. And that's all we can do when we are parents or youth leaders or helping someone. You can just give someone the very best opportunity to do what God wants. That's all you can do. You can't make it happen. And Jehoiada had done this. But now Joash was on his own. And it was time to see that the convictions he had, were they really a reflection of the priest, or were they a reflection of what was in his heart? You know, it reminds me of the time when I, and this is a long time ago, I finished year 12. I was one of those weird young men. I was bursting to get out of home and see the world. So I had my last exam in year 12. I got home, packed my car, and the next day said goodbye to Mum and Dad, and I drove. And I had a job down working on a farm at Deniliquin. I was waiting to see what my results were, to see what direction, but I just wanted to leave home. And there was this amazing feeling, and it wasn't because I was driving a Tirana, all right? Although that is an amazing feeling, all right? But had this amazing feeling of liberty. Wow, I'm free. I can finally do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be. I can go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do, and I won't have Mum and Dad telling me it's wrong or looking down on me or checking up on me. I'm free. I'll never forget that feeling. You know, from the Central Coast to Deniliquin, it's a fair way. So it's a long drive, right? And so you get a lot of time to think. And as time went on, I started to think, well, what am I going to do? What am I? Who am I? You know, the thoughts, I sort of knew what I had to do, but now I had to work out what sort of person do I want to be? And I praise God that when I got down there, I went off to the Deniliquin Baptist Church, and there was just someone speaking just at the right time that challenged my heart. And it was there I realized I actually want to follow the ways of the Lord. I saw what my parents want, and I want that. And I want to do what God wants. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do until I had the freedom to do it. But that's when I realized I want to follow the Lord. And I praise God that from then on I have grown in the Lord. I've made greater sacrifices for the pursuit of doing what God wants and serving Him. And it was my freedom that revealed that was in my heart to my parents and also to myself. And this was the time that this is the time that every parent, pastor, youth leader, anyone looks for when it comes to those they have ministered to or cared for. What are they going to do when they are free to do as they please? And now it was time for Joash to do the same. And the reality is, if Jehoiada was alive, he would have been a broken man. A broken man. And for two main reasons. First thing is, Joash turned away from the Lord. Have a look at verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Does that sound like someone else? The son of Solomon? You know, he's ones of his own age come and convince him. And it says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. You know, this is every parent's heartache, every pastor's heartache, every person that ministers to young people's heartache. Well, it should be, where you see them, it doesn't matter what we're looking at aspect, you see them as they're growing up, and you ask them to pray, and they pray. You ask them a question, and they know the answer to the story. They talk about who wants, you put up your hand, who wants to live for God, and they put up their hand, all these wonderful things. Yet they come to that age where they have the liberty to choose, and they stop it all. And they stop even going to church and following the Lord. I found that when a person starts listening to the wrong friends, being influenced by the wrong in the wrong areas, the first step in that spiral downwards is they stop going to the house of the Lord. The fact is, a person's desire to hear the Word of God and to be with God's people and to worship the Lord with God's people and to serve the Lord is a very good indicator to their walk with the Lord. If there is no desire to go to church, no desire to worship the Lord with other believers, and they only come when they have to or they do the bare minimum, that is, and it's not their priority, that is the most obvious first sign that something's going wrong in the heart. And Joash had no desire to go to the Lord's house. This was the one that he put work into restoring. This is the one that he told others to come and worship God continually in. Now he's not even going. What's he doing? Well, he's found something else to do. It says there, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. He had other things to do, other idols, other gods that were more important. And he took part of these fleshly activities. And that would have broken Jehoiada's heart. Anyone that does care for the souls of others, in the ministry of others, I tell you, it breaks your heart. I can tell you that from experience. But if this hadn't broken his heart, the next thing would have. Because we're told that because of the sin of the people and the sin of Joash, the Lord sent prophets to tell them to repent, otherwise he will have to judge them. They wouldn't listen, and so then he sent Jehoiada's son to rebuke the king. And we're told what happened in verses 20 to 22. It says, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but slew his son. How quickly Joash forgot all that Jehoiada had done for him, where he kills his son, the son of the one that helped him so much. You would have thought that at least out of respect, even if he didn't want to do what he said, he wouldn't have killed him. But sadly, Joash acted like many. Their allegiance is very fickle and very short-lived. And that is the nature of a fleshly person. That their allegiance and their thankfulness for what others have done for them is very fickle and very thin as well. And I certainly had known that story I told at the Red Rock Camp. There are others that went forward that day, and I tell you what, they have wrote me letters thanking me, little cards for just being there when I needed. But now that some of them are away from the Lord, they wouldn't even talk to me. And they're quite happy to say awful things about me because now they're not walking with the Lord. That honor or that fickleness is there. You know, Moses experienced that. Those people, goodness gracious. He saves them. Thank you, Moses. You're the best. Something goes wrong. Let's kill him. Right? It's like, yeah, he probably didn't know what he was going to face when he stepped out of that tent. Are they happy with me today or are they going to stone me? Right? If he sees a bunch standing around, he doesn't know, have they got stones in their hands or are they going to pat me on the back? That's how fickle people can be. And for me, I believe that loyalty and gratitude are qualities of a person that is spirit-led. Because that is how God wants us to be. It is those who don't have gratitude and don't honor those who have helped them and guided them. That is the flesh that's in control, not the spirit. You know, God tells us to honor people. He tells us to honor our parents. It's a spirit-led thing to honor others. God says we're to honor our parents. The Word of God tells us also to honor elders and the pastors, the leaders of a church. He tells us to honor widows. He tells us to honor the king. He tells us to honor a number of people. This is a God-like attitude. But for Joash, the honor wasn't there. There was no gratitude and God dealt with it severely. Have a look in from verse 23. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And so they executed judgment against Joash. Verse 25, and when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. Not only that, it says, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. No honor for him, because he did not show honor to those who he should have been showing honor. And brethren, there are two little lessons for us today. First one is, if you're ministering to others, it doesn't matter if you're a parent or in a ministry with youth or whatever, please don't think just because you can control their outcomes and their responses that they've made it, right? You need to be praying that God does a miraculous work in their heart and soul. And then once they get to that older age, you need to pray that God will do that work and continue that work. That's why it's good, I think, sometimes to give them little opportunities, have some freedom under your control to see where they are so you can bring them back and help them and teach them in those ways till they get to that point of complete freedom. If they only get freedom at the very end, when you have no opportunity, that can be a very scary thing. But don't take the outward conformity as a sure thing that something has happened inside their heart. That's the first thing. Second thing is that loyalty should start with the house of God. And it should start with the Lord. We are to be loyal to the Lord. Let's not be fickle with our love for Him. You know, when things don't go the way we wanted, when things don't turn out, don't turn on God. Don't question Him. Be faithful and honor Him. Because honor starts with honoring the Lord. Honor your parents. Honor your pastor, the elders and the leaders within this church. Honor those who have faithfully sacrificed for things here in the past. You know, there have been things, I've been here, I don't know, 15 years, whatever, but there have been things and even things still. Now, I might like to change, but out of honour for those who have gone before me, I don't do it. Out of respect for them, honour is an important thing. I certainly want to be someone who honours those who deserve honour. And we all should do that. Honour those who have faithfully sacrificed and ministered to our well-being. Because God, as we see, doesn't take dishonour lightly. I certainly don't want to be a Joash. And when I got the opportunity to be free, I praise God I wasn't. And I don't want to be a Joash in dishonouring those that deserve to be honoured as well. And I trust you are the same. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you deserve all our honour. You are always good. We don't understand, but it doesn't mean you're not good. And I pray that, Lord, as we seek to honour you here in this place, as a body of believers, that, Lord, you will honour us. And I pray that as we honour you, we will honour those that are worthy of honour as well. And I ask and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.